Pentecost often gets overlooked in church, and it often happens for a few different reasons. One of those is what we have today, where it lands right on Memorial Day, and many times churches focus more on that than they do on Pentecost. It can get overshadowed in other ways, or kind of shadowed by things like poor attendance, because it usually happens, like I said, on Memorial Day, or when school is out, Sunday school is out, when people are more away from town. And so you don't hear about Pentecost or the Spirit very often. But more than anything, I think Pentecost gets shoved under the rug a little bit because it's about the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is just plain mysterious. We don't know what to say often about the Holy Spirit. We don't know who or what the Spirit is. We know about Jesus the Son. We know about God the Father. We can say something about them. But many times the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, feels more like the third wheel of the Trinity. What is the Spirit? What does it do? Where does it come from? Sometimes Scripture doesn't help us either. We get texts like we do in Acts where it talks about flaming tongues and coming down and giving the disciples different languages. That can be kind of confusing as to what's really going on there. And then there's stuff like what we get from our gospel text this morning too. In our gospel text from John, Jesus is kind of setting things in order as he prepares to leave his disciples. He's preparing for his death, and he knows what's going to follow after his death. He knows that 3 days later he will be raised to life. He will be vindicated. And then he knows also that 40 days after that he will be ascended. Now the day of ascension is something that gets overlooked too, because it always happens on a Thursday, and really, who wants to come to church on a Thursday? I haven't tried that one yet. But the day of ascension is a very important day in the church too. It's the day that we celebrate when the incarnated, fleshy Christ, the resurrected Christ, the Christ that is fully human and fully divine, leaves the earth and ascends into heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father in the heavenly courts. Jesus is preparing for all of these things. And in John 15 and 16, he's preparing his disciples for his departure. His departure into death, but probably more importantly, his physical departure from the world until the day he returns. Because of this, and because they really don't know what's going on, the disciples are filled with sorrow because they don't want Jesus to leave. So, Christ lets his disciples in on part of the master plan, the plan that God has had in mind since the very beginning of time. And he tells them that when he leaves and when he rejoins his heavenly Father, God the Father, Christ the Son, will send the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to the disciples. Now what's interesting about this is how Jesus chooses to talk about the Holy Spirit. What word he gives to describe the Holy Spirit. In our translation, Jesus calls the Spirit the Advocate. The Greek word there is parakletos, which other translations describe as the helper. You might see it as the counselor, advocate. It's a hard word to describe, but in every translation, it kind of gives you an idea of what the function of the Spirit is going to be, at least in part. He is an advocate. He is a helper, a counselor. In other words, the Spirit is one who is sent to come along beside those in the world, to intercede on behalf of others throughout this world. There are people who need an advocate. We talked about this a little bit when I was talking about Memorial Day. But think of like the young women around the world, the little girls who are stolen, kidnapped, taken, and put into a system of human trafficking, forced to work in the sex trade. They need an advocate, somebody to come along beside them to work on their behalf. Think of children and women forced to work grueling hours in horribly unsafe work conditions. They need an advocate, an intercessor, somebody to come beside them, whether it's to work against the political machinery that's involved or in other ways. At times, too, even creation itself, animals, the created order needs advocates to step in on their behalf. Think of the oil spill in California right now. Animals need advocates. They need somebody to come along beside them, point out what went wrong, and help them recover. And of course, on Memorial Day, we think of ethnic groups around the world, even weaker nations, persecuted by other countries or tyrants, like so many were under the fist of Nazi Germany during World War II. The world needs advocates. As long as it has fallen, as long as it is corrupted, there will always be people who are abused, people who are weaker than others, in a position of vulnerability when they are preyed upon by the wicked. So many people, creation itself, needs an advocate because of others and their sin done against other people. If they don't have advocates, for many, the world will just crush them. Christ and the Father send the Holy Spirit. And Christ talks about the Spirit as being an advocate. But the first thing an advocate needs to do is to expose the wrong, the sin that holds the one being advocated for down. Needs to expose it. And our Lord, being the wise Lord He is, knows this and tells His disciples exactly this in verse 8. And when He, the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, comes, He will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in Me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will see Me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. Our translation kind of softens what Jesus is saying, what He says that the Advocate will do. It's a little more intense than that. The Spirit comes to expose, to bring to light, to convict the world about its sin. As an advocate, the first thing the Spirit does is exposes sin, but it doesn't stop there. It not only exposes sin, but the Spirit shows that no one is righteous except for Christ. And that the world, which crucified the righteous one, has been following the condemned and judged ruler of this world, namely Satan and all his tools, money, greed, lust, pride, and power. So the Spirit comes to be an advocate. And His first order of business is to expose sin for what it really is, so that sin can be taken care of. Now at this point we might think to ourselves, good, the Spirit's finally going to teach that guy a lesson, because if anybody offends God, it's that guy. No, I'm not pointing to you now, okay? Just an imaginary person over there, Kelly. It's okay. We might like to think that way, but sorry, it's not true. The Spirit comes to bring all sin to light, and the Spirit always starts with you, bringing your sin to light. And here is where the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ kind of work in tandem together in this, as advocates, but each with a different role in their advocacy. The Spirit comes along beside us and exposes our sin through the Word of God. We talked a little bit about this last week with Psalm 1. The Spirit is the one that holds up that mirror before us, the law of the Lord, and exposes us for who we really are, shows us who we are. It shows us that broccoli that's stuck in our teeth, or the blemish that has developed on the tip of our nose, which always happens right before you have to do something very public in front of everybody. The Spirit holds up the mirror and shows us who we are through the Word of God. It exposes us as sinners and brings our sin to light. But the Spirit doesn't just leave us in front of the mirror with no solution. He drives us to Jesus Christ. As Christ tells the church, or tells the disciples, the Spirit bears witness to Christ. He testifies on Christ's behalf. The Spirit always points towards Jesus Christ. And whatever the Spirit does, however it chooses to employ its power, it is always pointing towards salvation in Christ for you. If anybody else tells you differently, if any other church practices differently, they are wrong. The Spirit points us towards Christ. Every work the Spirit does has this in mind. Because what do sinners need most of all? We need to know that we are sinners. And we need to know that we are forgiven. You need forgiveness. And how is forgiveness achieved? It is through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for you, took your sin and paid the debt. It is won through his victory in the empty tomb, where he was vindicated by God the Father, where his victory then becomes our victory. And in Christ's ascension, where he rises to the heavenly courts and sits at the right hand of God the Father, that is where Christ becomes our advocate. He speaks on behalf of sinners before God the Father. He looks out at his people and says, "See there, that's my servant Erica. I died for her. She's a sinner. She's a terrible sinner. But I died for her. She has faith in me. Lord, Father, I claim her as my own. She is mine. She is my child. She's your child. She's my brother. She's my sister. These are my children out here, Lord. They are mine. And in me, they are righteous. Let us give them the Spirit of truth. Let the Spirit be for them an advocate, a helper, one who comes along beside them. Let the Spirit convict them of their sin so as to keep us in their hearts. And let the Spirit empower them so that they, your children, may bear witness to me and gather the rest of our children unto us." So here's what the Spirit does. The Spirit is an advocate sent to us on earth, the helper, exposing your sin, bringing it to light, and then driving you to Christ. where you know that you are forgiven, where you know you have an advocate before the Father, a mediator, one to speak on your behalf, declaring you to be righteous by His blood. And as the Spirit bears witness to Christ, then you, who have the Spirit in you, given to you at baptism, also bear witness to the power of Jesus Christ for sinners. This is what the Spirit did in Acts. It empowered a bunch of sinners sitting around so that they could tell others about Jesus Christ. Christ has forgiven you, and now He sends you, but He doesn't send you alone. He sends you with the power of the Spirit. Let us pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we give You thanks for the gift of the Holy Spirit, a reminder that we are forgiven by You, a reminder that we are empowered by You, and one who shows us Your Word and shows us our need for You. Help us by Your Spirit to know that we are forgiven, that we have Your love, that we are Your children. Help us also, Lord, to speak truth to others, to help them to see their sin, but to know that they are forgiven in Christ, should they believe in Him. We pray this in Your name. Amen.